we're talking tonight about strongholds. Last week we went into the structure of a stronghold. And tonight we're going to actually jump in and talk a little bit about one of the six strongholds of the enemy that the Lord showed me. Again, this was going back probably 25 years when I first started to see this stuff. But before we jump in, the Lord said that I need to read this verse to you. It's John 14 and verse 23. And it says, Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him." It's a powerful, powerful promise. And you know, a lot of Christians, when they read that verse, their first response is, well, how do I know that I'm keeping his word enough to deserve him to do that? And if that's how you think about that verse, what it's revealing to you is that you're still kind of under the influence of a religious spirit. Because the religious spirit wants you to feel like you have to measure up in order for God to do something. And the right way to read this, and any of these other verses where he talks about, if you love me, you will keep my commandments and all those sort of things, is rather from the standpoint that if you do love him, you will. If you love the Lord, it's just going to be a normal, natural thing that you will keep his word, that you will keep his commandments, that you will do what he wants you to do. And you know, you read a verse like this and you say, well, why does it say that the Father will love him and we will come and make our abode? I thought that the Father always loved us. I thought that he was always with us and always in us. Why is Jesus emphasizing something that in other places in the Bible it says it's already true? Have you ever wondered about that? Why does this verse so specifically talk about God loving us, the Father loving us, and they coming to make their abode with us? If that's, you know, again, because it's, we know he loves us, right? What's the difference here? Well, keep in mind, we're talking about strongholds, right? And we're not going to get too deeply into godly strongholds. But for every stronghold of the enemy, there's also a stronghold of God that is the exact opposite. And what I've just read to you, this verse right here, is the foundational stronghold that every single one of God's children is to have. It's yours in Christ. And what is it? It is basically the acknowledgement, the revelation, the experience of the Lord's presence in your life. It's the understanding that when I have chosen him and I have chosen to position myself in such a way that I love him with all my heart and that I accept all that he is in my life, right? Which is all we've got to do, right? Everything is by grace through faith. And I don't want to make this a real, you know, esoteric thing, but the key that the Lord is wanting us to understand tonight is that this thing of him loving us, the Father will love you. Let me just maybe act it out for you. Let's just say that the Lord is telling you, hey, I want you to come and just hang out with me for a while. Right? Do you think he might do that? Right. You might say, hey, let's hang out for a while. But you instead say, oh, you know, I got to go do this. And I got to go do that. And I got to go over here. Right? He said, I'd like you to come here so that we could hang out. And I didn't do that. Now, that was my choice, but what I did was I took myself out of a place where Father God could love me in a way that I hadn't been loved before. And that's always our choice, you know. We don't work for his love. We don't work for his, you know, whatever, his blessing. But he will say to us, hey, guess what? Come here and let's hang out. Be intentional about coming into my presence, which means you put everything else aside. You guys did that last night. You basically said, you know what? We're going to get in the presence of God. And when you do that, just like Jesus said, My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. You basically position yourself for encounter. That's the key. He's wanting us to, and this blows my mind, I don't even know how this is possible, but what he's after is that we would live a life of continual encounter. Come on, can you imagine that? You know, to live a life where you are continually, consciously aware of his presence and of what's going on in heaven and what's happening in the spirit realm with angels and all that kind of stuff. That's what this verse is promising us. And that's why he says, if you love me, listen to what I'm saying and do it. Right? And you will if you love me. Because if you love him, there's nothing more that we want, right, than more of him. And so when he says, come on, let's hang out. Oh yeah, absolutely. I'm like, I'm so there. Okay? And so I wanted to encourage you. I felt like the Lord wanted me to share this tonight as we start to delve into this whole thing of strongholds of the enemy, because this is what is ours in Christ. This is our inheritance. This is our birthright. Okay. Does that make sense? Did I say that okay? Did I share that in any other clear way? Okay, cool. So, we're going to talk for a couple of minutes about what I consider to be the mother of all strongholds. Okay? What would you think would be the mother of all strongholds of the enemy? Well, fear is one of the strongholds, but I don't think it's the mother of them all. Which one do you think might that be? Well, lies, that's what a stronghold is. It's a lie. Okay? But there's a certain lie that's the mother of all of the others.
Working to get to God.
Well, that's part of it. Religion is part of it. But I'll save you from thrashing about. It's pride. The stronghold of pride is the mother of all of the other strongholds, right? And so it was funny. This past week I happened to pray. You okay? Oh my gosh.
Angels don't use the door.
I know. Angels don't need doors. What the heck? Exactly. So I ran across this article by a guy that I follow. And here's some examples of the pride stronghold. Okay, if you exhibit these characteristics, you might have an issue with pride. I kind of say that tongue-in-cheek. You know, it's kind of like you might be a redneck type of thing, right? Okay. You have little or no experience in a particular area, yet offer your uneducated opinion, and then become offended when people don't follow or listen to you. You cannot accept advice, and insist on doing things yourself or in your own way, even when you don't have the necessary expertise. You refuse to change your habits, like how or where you work, or stubbornly resist adopting new technology or work habits. You consistently have little or no results in a particular area of life, work, or ministry, but cling to the ways you've always done it, and then get upset when someone speaks into your dysfunction. You believe you are entitled to your opinion, which you are, but then also believe that your opinion is special simply because it's yours. You ignore the input of someone who has walked a path before you, especially when that person has no vested interest except to see you succeed. You remain stuck in an area of failure, but still believe you have the right to give advice or direction instead of listening or learning. So, if you have any of those, well, you just might have an issue with pride. Right?
Like mental illness.
Mental illness. Are you mental, eh? Yeah, you're true. So what's the root lie in this stronghold of pride? Because that's what we're really dealing with, right? Every stronghold of the enemy is based on our agreement with a particular lie. And what that does, of course, as we talked about last week, is that gives the enemy the legal right to operate in our life because we're in agreement with him. Right? Does that make sense? And as we mentioned last week, the problem with a stronghold is that we defend it. We defend our right to believe that lie because we believe it's true and you can't tell me it's not. And then we'll tell you all the reasons why it's true. Okay? We'll justify the lie that we believe is true by telling everybody why it's true. Okay? That's, in essence, the structure of a stronghold. And I talked about that last week, so go on heavensinvasion.com and watch the message if you need more. Okay? So the stronghold of pride that we're going to talk about tonight, the root lie is, you ready? It's my opinion of me. The root lie there is my opinion of me. And here's how I explain that. I have an inflated opinion of myself and my importance. Therefore, I and only I can decide what is right for me. Okay? That's really the essence of this stronghold. Is I reserve for myself the right to decide what is right for me because I can. Right? Isn't that really what happened with Adam and Eve? They reserved for themselves the right to choose what was right for them and ended up eating the fruit, right? So what are some other examples of this stronghold? Well, one of them is this idea that I'm not deceived or I can't be deceived. Okay? I went through a period of my life where I was very susceptible to that and found out that I very much was deceived. Okay, it's a long story. I don't have time to get into it tonight. But that's a huge red flag. You don't think that you can be deceived. Guess what? You already are. Okay. And the corollary to that is that I am not or I cannot be wrong about something. I can't be wrong about that. What are you kidding? I know what's true here. Okay? The moment you think you can't be wrong, right, you probably already are. You know, it's like for all that we think we know, we must also know this, we can be wrong. Okay? And if you don't have that, you're going to be hosed at some point. Another one along those lines is, I don't need help. I don't need help? Why are you kidding me? I got this. Hey, get away from me. Right? That's another stronghold point, that we don't feel like we need help with it, with whatever, certain things, right? Rebellion. You know, I'm going to do things my way. I don't care what you say. Okay? Complacency. How is complacency a manifestation of pride? Anybody know? That one might not be so obvious. But what is complacency? I see that hand.
You feel like you've got it all down, so you can relax.
Exactly. Exactly. One of the best examples from Scripture is the story that Jesus told about the guy who said, I'm going to tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and then I'll say to my soul, you know, eat, drink, and be merry, for we're going to have a great life. And God said, you fool. Your life's required of you tomorrow, and who's going to get your stuff now, right? So yeah, complacency is that sense of, you know, it's all good. I don't need anything else. I'm happy. Never mind about what God has for me or what he wants for my life. I'm just happy in my own. Happy as a pig in... selfishness, that's pretty obvious. You know, pride is all about what's good for me, you know. But enough about me. What do you think about me? You know, it's all revolving around me and what's best for me. Okay. Self-deception, we talked about that. That's another huge one. Oh, how about this? Impatience and irritability, which are all, you know, all arise out of anger. How is anger a manifestation of pride? And why should you get your way, Eddie?
The Lord loves
Exactly. You know, how dare you cut me off while I'm driving? How dare you slow me down? How dare, right? This is what happens. Anytime that anger rises up like that, it's because we feel that a right that we have has been violated. Okay? So yeah, anger is a huge sign of pride. What about envy? How is envy a manifestation of pride? What? Why are should he or she do better than me? Okay, Nicole? Exactly, exactly. It's not fair. How come they have that and I don't? Right? I want that. They shouldn't have that. I'm going to get that. Exactly. Arrogance. What's arrogance? What is that? What? Are you blurting something out here that we need to know? How do you define that, anybody? Arrogance. Thinking too highly of yourself, right? Egotistical, right? Basically, you know what? I'm at the top, and I'm going to do what I want. It's a very bold, a very, you know, extroverted type of a manifestation of pride. Arrogance. One of the best examples of arrogance is Psalm 2. Why do the nations rage? The Lord sits on His holy hill and what? He laughs at the foolishness of, you know, the world trying to come after Him and knock Him down, right? It's like that's the arrogance of man at times, right? Unteachable, we talked a little bit about that. That was really something that I struggled with many years ago when I was going through that whole thing of being deceived. People would come to me and say, you know, you really shouldn't say that, or you shouldn't do that. I'm like, come on, I know the truth. What are you talking about? You know, anytime you're so dogmatic that you can't receive, you know, any kind of correction, that's a problem. And that's where I was. Stubborn, another good manifestation, not good, but another good example of pride. If you're stubborn, again, you don't want somebody, you know, you refuse to allow anybody to speak into your life about something or to help you with something that you need to change. You're just stubborn. I'm going to stick to my ways, right? Argumentative. Right? If you're argumentative, you always have to have... You know you have an issue with pride if you can never let somebody have the last word. If you always have to have the last word, you know, in a conversation with somebody, you know, it's like you can't let it go. Right? For you, being right is more important than being in relationship. Okay? So, you know, all these kind of things. If I missed anything or any other things that you know that come to mind when we talk about pride and this stronghold of basically, you know, my inflated opinion of myself. Well, yeah, you can certainly do that. You know, that's... that's like the arrogance thing, you know, where you know, it's arrogance, selfishness, you know, I'm going to use you, you know, I'm climbing the ladder on the backs of everybody else, sort of thing. Sure, yeah, it's all involved with that, yeah. So, so the way that the Lord showed me, you know, that we can deal with this is basically from Revelation 3:20, which I thought was really interesting. Yeah, that's the scripture where Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." And for us, as His kids, you know, we never want to think that He's somehow outside of our world, of our life. But when I'm operating, you know, out of the stronghold of pride, He absolutely is, because I'm on the throne of my life. I have taken His place. And so I basically said, I got this. I've got this. And so in order for that to change, I've got to let Him in. Say, I'm sorry. I'm I'm going to get back to where I need to be, which is letting you show me what's right, what's wrong, you know, show me who I really am. And the godly stronghold, of course, is humility. And that's what we want. You know, humility is not self-deprecation or making yourself seem less than you really are. Humility is nothing more than recognizing that you need the Lord and that you're not able to function apart from your relationship with Him. You know, it's that kind of thing where I'm like, oh, okay. Is this making sense? So what I did was I printed this all up for you guys with scripture references. Oh my gosh. And so if you're interested in really digging into this a bit more, that's in the back. You can grab one on your way out. And this is what I'll do for the next few weeks when we go over each of these strongholds. Is this okay? You guys are all right with this? Okay. Because again, you know, keep the bigger picture in mind. The Lord is taking us on this journey where we're learning how to get good at making declarations. And so what it seems like He's doing is He's removing areas in us where we still have agreements with the enemy. Because those agreements will dilute, if not really prevent us from speaking with authority. You know, it's like if you have a demon, you can't cast the demon out of somebody else. You know, because you're in agreement. Am I making sense here? Right? So we want to, I guess the Lord is clearly wanting us to kind of go through this process and identify what strongholds that we're still struggling with in ourselves. And so really, you know, if you recognize any of these characteristics in your life, it's easy. Say, Lord, I don't want this. It's wrong. I give it to You. Right? That's repentance. It's wrong. I don't want it. Here You go. What do You have for me in exchange? You know, it's that divine exchange that He wants to make, where you see who you really are as His kid, and that other junk just gets removed out, gets replaced. Right? You got to replace the negative with the positive. Okay? All right? You all good? I feel like this is
so heavy. Oh my God, I'm sure I want to have your stuff here.
Okay. At least I won't tell a joke. Is that better? Yeah, that'd be Gary. Yeah, I don't do jokes that well. Any questions? Okay. I mean, honestly, I'm just so excited about where we're going with the Lord with all of this. And all I can do is cast vision before you to say that we're going to come into a place of authority in the Lord if we'll just be faithful in this. Where we're going to begin to make declarations that have impact regionally, nationally, globally. This is what God's offering us. And so I'm ready to go. I'm following. Amen?